reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as the testimony to them." When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." And Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" And the centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. That one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done, just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed just at that moment. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah: "He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So let's pray now for Elliot. Lord, we thank you for Elliot, for Sophie, for little Jericho. We thank you for all the work they do looking after our youth. And we pray for Elliot now as he comes to speak to us, that you will speak through him to each one of us. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. This is my favourite bit.
Good morning, everyone. So, thank you for the reading as well, Colin. So, this section that we've just read is part of a bigger section of chapters 8 and 9 of Matthew. So in chapters 5 to 7 of Matthew, we have Jesus's most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter 10 of Matthew, we have the sending out of the 12 disciples. So this is the section that we find the reading today. And in this section, we have 9 different stories. 9 stories of people who are ill, that need Jesus' healing, that are demonized, that are oppressed, that have people that they know that need healing. So you might remember some of the stories. So we have the first 3 in the reading, which are the person with the leprosy, the centurion, and then Peter's mother-in-law. But we also have the calming of the storm. In chapters 8, we also have the raising of the dead girl and the healing of the sick woman. We have demonized men being delivered, as well as mute men being having their speech restored as well. So in these 9 stories that we find, these are full of people that are on the margins of society, particularly according to the Jewish people. They would have been the unclean, the impure. The centurion was a Roman who would have been hated by the Jewish people. They would have been the oppressors. the ones supposedly in power. And Matthew portrays Jesus coming down off the mount where he preaches his sermon, and he comes down and enters Capernaum. And whilst he's entering Capernaum, he's also entering these people's lives as individuals. Up until this point, Jesus is recognized to be a teacher with authority. He's recognized as a preacher who goes around preaching. But now he is someone who practices the kingdom, who shows the kingdom with authority and power. He's someone who practices what he preaches. Unlike the Pharisees who are hypocrites, Jesus is not a hypocrite. Now, because of the authority he possesses, he is shown to be powerful over everything. He can forgive sins. He can calm storms supernaturally. He can heal diseases powerfully. People recognize that he is something different. He is someone different. They call him a teacher. They call him a Lord. They call him a son of man, a son of David, even a son of God. And it's clear from Matthew's gospel, as he starts the whole gospel proclaiming that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And he ends his gospel in chapter 28 of Matthew when Jesus says, I will be with you till the end of the age. Matthew's emphasis is that Jesus is God with us, the divine Son of Man who is always present with us. He is shown to be the source of love, of power, of wisdom, of goodness. And in these first three stories that we've heard in the reading today, we hear that not only is Jesus God and the source of these amazing things, but he is willing to heal the leprous man. He is able to do it. To the centurion, part of the enemy of God's people, he is not only willing, but he's able to heal a servant from a distance. And with Peter's mother-in-law, we see that Jesus heals her with just a touch. He drives out this sickness with a touch. And as I mentioned in the other stories that we have in chapters 8 and 9, he rebukes a storm, he casts out demons, forgives sins, heals a chronically ill lady, raises a dead girl to life, restores sight, enables speech. But all the while, he's expressing compassion for the harassed and the helpless. He comes to individual people's lives that need help. Now, Paul comments in Colossians 2:9 that Jesus is the fullness of the deity dwelled in bodily form. Now, the life of God dwelled in Jesus in such a way that it flooded through his actions, his words, his very presence. And as you would imagine, these stories really focus on Jesus, on who he is and what he is like. But we are also welcomed into these stories as well, as we see individual people and their responses to him. These people include people trying to follow him from place to place. Others kneel at his feet in humility. There are others who ask for help, others that cry out for his intervention. There are some who give exclamations of devotion. One who reaches out desperately just to even touch the hem of his cloak. But what's in common is that they all desire Jesus' involvement in their lives. As I've said, some of them have shown real humility before Jesus. Some are in higher earthly or religious authority, like the Roman centurion coming to Jesus, or Jairus, the synagogue leader, kneeling before Jesus' feet. It's clear from the Sermon on the Mount, and particularly the Beatitudes at the beginning of that sermon, that the kingdom of heaven goes to the poor in spirit, those who are humble, those who are needy. These are the ones who receive the kingdom of heaven here. But in all this commotion and craziness, as you could imagine, seeing miracles every day would be quite amazing. But in amongst all of these, there are two important calls for Jesus to follow him, from Jesus to follow him. So after the first three stories, there's a call to follow Jesus. And after the second three, there's a call particularly for Matthew to follow Jesus, who's the writer of this gospel. Now, this call that Matthew has included in this section is not only for the crowds that were around him. It's not only for the disciples or Matthew who will write this gospel. It's not only for the original audience, which would have been mainly Jewish readers. But today it's for us to follow Jesus again today. Jesus highlights that this call is the highest commitment. It requires the utmost sacrifice and surrender. But he also clearly highlights that it's the only real sacrifice that is worthwhile. It's the foundational sacrifice for all life. And it's not only clear from these situations that Jesus brings healing and brings life and brings goodness, but he is also shown to be the one that carves out a pathway of life for others as they follow him. And these are the ones who get to experience Jesus's presence, his wisdom, his instruction consistently each day. Consequently, the disciples, who are those ones who are closest to Jesus, who follow him everywhere he goes, these are the ones who get to join in with Jesus' ministry, that not only get to experience his life-giving words, but they, as Matthew says in chapter 10, whilst they're getting sent out, these are the ones who are instructed to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come near, to cure the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse those with skin diseases, to cast out demons, because freely they have been given, freely they have received, so freely they were compelled to give what they had received. You see, the ones closest to Jesus not only experienced Jesus' life, but became conduits of expressing that life to others in their sphere of influence. As you're sitting and listening to this message, maybe you would consider yourself a follower of Jesus. Maybe you're someone who's experienced some of Jesus' life and wisdom and goodness, but you're not really sure what following him looks like. Or maybe you're not sure of his existence at all. But I know that the stories that we have in Scripture of these individuals are but a few that exist of Jesus touching people's lives and transforming them, and then sending them out to be a blessing to a hurt and broken world. Like I mentioned, last Sunday we had a young person get baptized called Charles. And he is someone that Jesus has come into his life, and Charles has experienced him and responded to that call to follow him. But there are loads of other stories in our church family. As I was preparing this preach, I thought of Sarah in our church family, who you might know. She was called by Jesus when she was 10 years old. He led her on a wonderful adventure, following him to different countries to serve him and other people. In her own words, if she had her way, she might have been on the first flight home on those occasions. Recently, she went to Poland to help with the Ukrainian refugee crisis over there, and she serves this church wonderfully, doing lots of different things. I thought of Abby, who asked Jesus into her life as an 11-year-old after reading an invitation in a devotional. She slowly felt flooded with a warmth that has never left her. God's presence and spirit has brought her joy and comfort through difficult times of loneliness, shame, and deep anger. His faithful love has helped her to remain hopeful with a desire to bring that hope to other people around her. She's also on our youth team, and she's a wonderful youth team member. I also thought of Jack, who was brought up in a non-Christian household. He started going to a Christian youth group and learned about Jesus. One evening, whilst revising and listening to the famous song, In Christ Alone, he just felt a flood of fullness come into his life. He felt a peace that he had never experienced before. This changed him and how he saw himself and others. And this has led him into serving God in children's mental health and expressing his faith to others in his workplace. I love the story that we just had that was kindly shared of someone experiencing Jesus at a youth camp as well. But finally, whilst I was preparing this preach, I thought of a guy who was low, dejected, hopeless, and entrenched in his own unforgiveness years ago now. Jesus invited him into a relationship at a Christian festival and to leave all those life-restricting things behind. To leave the hopelessness and bitterness behind to take up a new life, a new existence, and a new relationship with Jesus. He had no idea what would entail or the convoluted journey that would ensue after accepting that invitation. But it has been a journey full of life, love, and very real experiences of God's love and power and his spirit. Needless to say, it has led him being a youth worker here and to speaking in front of you this morning. But we all have our own journeys, our own stories. Some, like Charles, are at the beginning of that journey. But we're all called down the long, the narrow path that follows Jesus and leads to life in all its fullness. The way that leads to eternal peace and joy. A way that is present to us and a choice that is present to us each day of our lives. I want to ask the questions today. Will we follow or get distracted by the other journeys, the other roads that we could follow? Will we follow today and be conduits of Jesus's transformational power and life to those around? Will we humble ourselves and cry out to Jesus for his help and leadership and lordship in our lives, no matter what? The choice is ours. So as I wrap up, I want to invite us all into a time of reflection. I want us all to reflect on what that means for us today. What it means for us to ask Jesus to lead us again. Ask Jesus to highlight where he's going and what he wants us to do. So why don't we spend a minute now, just in quiet with our eyes closed. Just a moment with one-on-one time with Jesus. And I want you to ask him, Jesus, be my Lord again today. Lead me today. And show me what that looks like today. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us as we are open to you right now. God might be speaking to you in your mind through a mental image or a memory or a scripture. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill each person in this room, that you would rest on each one. May we feel your peace and your joy. May we feel your presence. I just saw a mental image of the stone being rolled away, which is where Jesus was buried in the tomb. And then the stone was rolled away after he was resurrected. And I just feel like God wanting to remind someone, or maybe more than one person in this room, that there is suffering and difficulty in this life, but Jesus didn't end the story on Good Friday. He continued to Resurrection Sunday, where he conquered death and there was victory. And we get to enjoy that victory over death as well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your hope. Just going to wait for a moment. Yeah, I also got a sense, I saw a combine harvester going through the fields at harvest time. And I just get a sense that there's someone in this room that was relating particularly to your family, that you're wanting there to be a harvest in your family where all your family members come to know Jesus deeply and they don't necessarily know him already. And I just was reminded of the scripture about the harvest and how we should pray for workers to bring in the harvest. And I just felt an encouragement for Jesus to pray for harvesters to come around your family, to come into your family, to speak Jesus's words of truth and to see a harvest in your family. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, that you are alive and that you speak. And as we draw this time to a close now, I pray you'd imprint on our hearts what you have been speaking to us.